One day, John was with a few of his disciples, and he saw Jesus walking towards them, and he said to them, "Look, look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I've been talking about when I said that there would be someone coming after me that really was before me." When he came to be baptized in the River Jordan, I didn't recognize him at first. But I was told by God that I would be the one to baptize the chosen one of God. When he came up out of the water, I saw the Holy Spirit come upon him and laid on him like a dove. This is the reason why I started this baptizing thing in the first place, so that I could reveal him to the world. So you could trust me when I testify that he is the chosen one of God. The next day, John was once again with a few of his disciples. And once again, he saw Jesus walking towards them. And he said again, "Look, there's the Lamb of God." This time, his disciples decided to follow Jesus. After a little bit, Jesus noticed that there were people following him, and he turned to them and said, "What do you want?" And they said, Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying?" Jesus said, "Come and see." So they went and they saw where Jesus was staying, and even though it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they stayed with him the rest of the day. Now, one of these disciples of John was named Andrew. And Andrew was close to his brother Simon. And so he went to find Simon. And when he found Simon, he said, "Simon, you never guess what happened. We found the Messiah." Naturally, Simon was curious about this, so he followed Andrew back to meet Jesus. And when Jesus saw Simon, he said, You are Simon, son of John, but I'm going to call you Cephas, which means Peter. We know further on in the gospel story in Matthew 16 that Jesus explains why he decided to change Peter's name to Cephas, Peter, Petros, meaning rock, because he said, "On this rock, on you, I will build my church." Jesus doesn't reveal this yet, of course, so you imagine that Simon would have been pretty puzzled, a total stranger, changing his name, calling him something else. But of course, this is not the first time that Jesus sees through the thin veneer of ourselves about somebody else. This very next section, right after this, Jesus meets Nathanael and tells Nathanael what he did earlier that day, to Nathanael's amazement. Maybe Jesus was doing a bit of a magic trick, a little sort of tease, getting people to get intrigued and interested in who he was so that they could follow him around for a while, see what he's all about. Maybe. Jesus knew what was in the hearts and minds of many that he met. He knows us today as well. He sees us. He knows our gifts because God placed them there originally. He knows our weaknesses and decides anyway to take a risk on us. Decides that he wants us to follow him, you, all of us. Jesus believes in us. God believes in us more than we believe in ourselves. Always more than we believe in ourselves. God knows us better than we know ourselves. So, what must have been going through the mind of Simon Peter that day I wonder if he thought if Jesus was crazy, some another sort of pretend Messiah. All people of vision, a lot of people, maybe not all people of vision, but many people throughout history, people of vision were considered crazy. Visionaries take risk. It's one reason why people think they're crazy. Peter was certainly a risk. He had anger issues, cut off a soldier's ear when they came to arrest Jesus. He had somebody who had a lot of doubts. Often he was the one who didn't understand Jesus' parable. Often he put his own foot in his mouth. But after years of tutelage, mentoring, observing, seeing the power of the Holy Spirit within Jesus Christ, Peter did indeed become the rock on which the church was built, as we read further on in our Bible story. Of course, being a rock is a metaphor. Jesus is looking for rocks today to build the church off of. I know the church has been around for over 2,000 years, yes. Our church here has been here for over a century and a half. But tomorrow, we will be required to be a different church than the church that we grew up in. Be it the church of the 50s or the 80s, whenever it was, we will be required to be remade into something different. I've communicated before what many observers and scholars and people that study these things and study religion in our culture and society today have been saying, that we are in a shift of religion and spirituality in our culture, in our nation. Things are rapidly changing. We as God's church need to be willing to be reformed for God's purpose in the future. God needs a few stones to build that off of. 2020, I think, is a precipice. It's a time this year where we have decided in our visioning retreat to take a step back and to look at the big picture, something I think is very useful to do and constructive to do, to look at what we believe, what is our mission exactly, to reform ourselves from the bottom up, to review our purpose, to look at things that will inform why we do what we do, not just adding more things to do. In our vision retreat, we decided that our mission statement will probably, and I want to emphasize that it is not set in stone, that we are going to discuss it, will probably begin with united in Christ. United in Christ, we decided. We decided that whatever our differences are, whatever our thoughts are, whatever our backgrounds are, what is the unifying thing that brings us together as the body of Christ? That is Christ, Jesus, the person that we read about and hear about in Scripture, the figure at the center of our faith, the one that we emulate ourselves off of. This might seem obvious, of course. What else would we look to? Who else would we seek to be? But it needs to be stated lest we forget, lest we become less focused and less than what God designed for us to be. It helps to go back to the basics. It doesn't hurt to be reminded of why we are here. This scripture that we heard today from John says a lot about Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John is all about who Jesus Christ is, really. Who is Christ, according to what we heard today? Christ is the Lamb of God. The Lamb, a sacrifice of God to take away the sin of the world. Not just our individual sins, but the sin and brokenness of the whole world. Someone who is meant to mend things, bring things together. Jesus is called rabbi, a teacher, somebody who informs us of right and wrong, someone to instruct us, someone's teachings who are to be read and remembered and practiced. We're going to hear some of that next week in the Beatitudes. Jesus is called the chosen one of God, or Messiah in some translations. So Jesus is the leader, meant to bring about a new age, to reveal the purposes of God. This is the one we say we want to be united with, this Jesus. Meaning that we are also called to sacrifice of ourselves. In other words, to serve people. To welcome people within our doors. To mend the brokenness. Not only with individual hearts, but with society at large. To do our due diligence in that regard. We are to be teachers of the word, teachers of truth in what is holy. We are to be the leaders. We are to take leadership roles in society, to be an example of justice, peace, reconciliation. We are to be active and alive for a purpose as Christ was in his life. Everything we stated after this in our vision and mission statement that we worked on last week is derived from what we know and understand and believe to be these truths about Christ. We envision being a place that is caring, that is sharing, and a place of belonging. This is what Christ emulated. Christ cared for people, all people, not just the people who normally we would care about, not just the righteous people, not just people who are used to being cared for, but all people, the forgotten ones, the lepers, the tax collectors. We are to share of what we have. We are to be a place of belonging, a place of safety. Because Jesus welcomed people in his midst, we are not to turn away others as well. Our preliminary mission statement so far says that we welcome all and serve all. That we are to be, like Christ, a servant, demonstrating to do what Christ commanded us to do and to be like. To care for the least of these. I think our church might be at a place of turning. Might be at a place of being reformed. Things have changed in the last few years. Circumstances have changed. The lives of the people whom we celebrate this week, unique, very blessed people in our midst. Mary has been a part of this congregation for longer than anyone seated here. She taught Sunday school for over 50 years here. Even while she was at home, she inspired us with her kindness, her love for us, her prayers for us. Jake was a newcomer among us, representing somebody who is not necessarily seen within a church wall. We will celebrate his life as well. What will God form us to be in this new decade? This new decade that we dedicate to God in the service of the Galleon community, in the service for the whole body of Christ, and to the world that is out there. Let us pray for God's guidance and God's Spirit to come and rest among us, to be in our hearts as we discern what's ahead for our individual hearts and for our community of faith. Amen.